after the 11 o'clock hour. Welcome into the whole show as we start another week, but certainly feels exactly the same. I mean, just... Yeah. It's just getting so... It's getting so old. So frustrating. Watching this team... This Broncos team, this football state, do the same thing over and over again. I mean, I guess the Bears won. That was positive. The Air Force Falcons covered against New Mexico. But outside of that, CU gets clobbered on Friday. Just absolutely destroyed. They were up 3-2 at one point, though. It's looking
good.
We're
leading at one point.
Yeah, you and I were texting back and forth. You're like, what do you think, man?
Well, I got home from UNC basketball, and I turned on this game expecting it to be a blowout. And
yeah.
3-2. I'm like, okay, Buffs.
Okay.
And then the rest of the game happened.
USC just goes off. Just absolutely goes off. 55-17 is how they won. Where do you want to begin with this? Let's talk about this with the Denver Broncos losing to Tennessee. This offense looked the exact same. Let me just say this as we start. Third left tackle. It was Bowles, then Fleming, then Anderson. Center was Cushenberry, then Glasgow. No, then it was Wattenberg, the Rook. Right tackle, Fleming, then Turner, then Bailey. I mean, you were on your threes, save for Dalton Reisner, who should get a contract extension just because he's been available. Although he didn't look good. That offensive line was awful. And why wouldn't it be? You got a bunch of threes and fours going up against ones and twos. That's not the reason. That's not the reason this season has been atrocious. Maybe one of the worst seasons ever. Maybe the worst season ever, depending on your fandom. That's our Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Is this the worst you've ever seen? In your Broncos fandom, in your life as a Broncos fan. And it's not just the offensive line. There's a lot of issues. Listen, Russ hasn't looked like conventional Russ. But yesterday, if you were expecting him to, you might want to lower those expectations because that line was probably the worst I've seen for Denver. And then you had all the receiver situation. I mean, Cortland Sutton was the only guy, the starter. Jerry Jeudy goes out early. KJ Hamler didn't play. Tim Patrick's, of course, out. You lost your starting running back. Have you seen it quite? I mean, I know teams have injuries. We're talking all of your starting line, save for your left guard, your starting running back, your two of, you know, if you're going with three wide receiver sets, two of those guys are out. Tim Patrick was supposed to be number two. So Patrick was out to start. So then Jeudy moves up to two. He's out. KJ Hamler was third. But then again, you can say the same thing about the defense. And they're finding ways. Justin Simmons didn't play. He was out. You, first game without Bradley Chubb, didn't feel it. You didn't feel it. It's as if he was out there. Defense still... looked very good. Derrick Henry didn't hurt him. This offense didn't do anything. Scored 17 points. Got 17 points, and you can't find a way to win. You're up 10-0. It's frustrating, man. It's the same old thing every single week. And I know the easy thing is, hey, get rid of Hackett. Get rid of him now. Why waste time now? What makes you think the offense is going to get better with Nathaniel Hackett gone? Who's coming in running the offense suddenly? If it were that easy, I just got to think George Payton would have done it already. You think he wants to lose? Think he wants to score 10 to 15 points a game? No. So if there's somebody there that can help you win and score points, then I'm pretty sure George Payton would put him in there. Because his job depends on it. Russell Wilson was 21-42, 286 yards, touchdown, and an interception. He was sacked 6 times for a total of 38-yard loss. And I think when the broadcast crew said 5, I thought, 5? Feels like he's been sacked like 20 times already. Six times is a lot. It felt like more. Couldn't run the ball. Courtland Sutton had six receptions for 66 yards. He had one crazy catch, but he also had some drops. He's targeted 11 times. Kendall Hinton was kind of involved, who's kind of been a pleasant surprise. Greg texting in. I do have one question for you, Sheriff Brady. Oh, I like that. Why did Hackett spend two timeouts for nothing in the fourth to try to disrupt the momentum that wasn't there? Don't know. I don't know. And then, you know, that last, you're driving down the field, you're actually getting to the point where maybe you're going to make this thing interesting and get in for a tying touch or a touchdown to get the tying extra point or go for it. I don't know. That probably would have been a fun decision for Hackett. And then you just have more bad offensive line play. The offensive line is the worst I've ever seen for Denver. But then again, like I said, defense has gone through injuries. I don't know if the defense has gone through that, you know, as many injuries like this as the Broncos have. When you're talking about number ones and twos. And then we're talking every backup for the Broncos on offense, on the line, goes down as well. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. And get your thoughts on this one. The Weld County Swami, no matter how you cut it, 50% completion percentage isn't going to work. Yeah, but when you're throwing, when you have to roll to the right or to the left as soon as the ball is snapped to throw it. I mean, there were times that he had Greg Dulcich open, he rolled out to the right, but he had a guy in his face. He was on the run the entire game. And listen, could Patrick Mahomes have looked better yesterday against Tennessee if that were him behind that offensive line? Probably. He's Patrick Mahomes. But would he have looked much better? I don't think so. I mean, I remember that playoff game when, was that 2 years ago already when the Chiefs' offensive line was so bad? Or was that last year? Against Cincinnati. Maybe it was against Cincinnati. And they looked so bad and he was running for something. Now, he made plays, but his guys weren't making plays for him. It is hard to make plays in this league when the play can't even develop. Snap the ball, you got a guy in the backfield already. That's why pass rushers are at a premium right now. Angel, that's why Miami went all in on Bradley Chubb. Because you know that if you can get a guy to beat his man off the snap, the whole play is now in trouble. That is the number one thing about defense, disruption. How do we throw you off what you're planning? So as soon as you snap the ball, if I can disrupt you in the backfield, if I can somehow disrupt you on the pass coverage, can I get you off of your spot a little bit as a DB? Again, that's what you do as a defensive player. And as an offensive player, an offensive line, you have to keep things to script. I have to keep this guy blocked so that he can get the ball snapped so that Russ can look at this progression and that progression and this progression. The receivers have to run the appropriate routes because, as Peyton Manning used to preach to us, if you're off by a yard, I'm not going to hit you. I mean, they say NFL is a game of inches, and it really is. Because Rodgers, Russell, in his heyday with Seattle, they were the king of going off script and making plays. Problem is you had other playmakers surrounding you helping make those plays. This team doesn't have any playmakers. Their offense has zero. The guy I told you should be the MVP of the team has been out for weeks now, and Javonte Williams. Melvin Gordon looks like he'd rather be somewhere else. He did fumble. That was a fumble. He kind of regathered it, but they didn't go back and review it anyway. But it probably would have been ruled a fumble. He fumbled it out of bounds, too. He caught it, ran it, boom, got hit, fumbled it out of bounds. You can't trust your second string running back. And as much as everybody freaked out about Latavius Murray, he was on a practice squad. So there's a reason for that. Your best option at running back was on another team's practice squad. It is bad. So the question I guess I have for the Broncos fans here is, how much can you really evaluate Nathaniel Hackett based on what? I mean, Angel, you watch the NFL. You watch a lot of football. The Broncos are the rest of the NFL is no stranger to injuries, but this certainly seems like an epidemic when it comes to starting players going down.
Yeah, like this team coming off of the bye more injured than when they went on to it.
Exactly.
It's fascinating how this team continues to just weird injuries. And I don't know if you call it bad luck, call it preparation, call it blame the coaching, the strength staff, whoever you want to blame. The truth is you're losing, you know, 3-4 players every single week, it feels like. And at some point that falls on the coaches to, okay, you work with what you got. All these guys are professionals. Yeah, they're practice squad. Yeah, they're third string. Yeah, they're whatever. They're professional football players. They should be able to go out in the field and execute something. And you're just not getting that. And I don't know if that's lack of motivation from the coaching staff, if it's just is the locker room divided against itself like we talked about earlier in the season. I don't know. There's just a lot of issues.
On the injury side, I've always, you know, we always hear the next man up, next man up. And I've always said the opposite. Like, there's a reason you're not the starter, because you can't compete with other starters. So with the Broncos, on the offensive line specifically, there's a reason you're not the backup, because you can't compete with other number twos. Denver was dealing with threes and fours in all those positions, save for left guard. Dalton Reisner, what's he eating? Oh, he does those beef commercials. Maybe they need more of that, because he's like the only lineman that doesn't really get hurt. And that alone might get him a new contract. Let's get to the good, the bad, and the ugly, presented by FMS Bank, banking made simple. The good for me last night, after a terrible day of football, after a terrible weekend of football, for the most part, the Nuggets have done pretty well in recovering and helping out the state of Colorado after a loss. And leave it to Michael Porter Jr. 31 points, 11 of 16, 6 of 9 from the three-point line. And I saw some major things from him. Not just the points. It was the way he was scoring. Did you see at the top of the key against Chicago? He has the ball. He fakes a shot. Then just hands it off at the top of the key to Joker. As soon as he throws that pass, he cuts because he's got, I can't think of his name. What's his name on him? Little short guy. Caruso. He noticed the mismatch, so he goes to Joker, and as soon as the ball leaves his hands, he cuts to the basket. Joker finds him. Boom, there's two and one. That is growth that you're seeing. That's not Michael Porter Jr. just waiting at the three-point line for something good to happen. He's making it happen. It also is why Nikola Jokic will not be back-to-back-to-back MVP. It won't happen. However, he's the best player in the NBA. We'll talk about that later. The bad. Spent my night at Canvas Stadium. Who's opening the windows in the press box, by the way? It's freezing in there, bro. I had my coat on. I was ready to put the earmuffs on, everything. It was freezing. It was a weird game. The Rams' defense is legit. In fact, for the Clay Millen Show, Clay recognizes that so much, he's bringing two defensive players in with him today. Love that. That's Clay. That's Clay doing some cool things. And I am all in on Clay Millen, by the way. I think that also that offensive line looks a lot like the Broncos' offensive line. But the Rams lose that one 14-13. Torrey Horton. And it's going to be tough for you to hear me bash Torrey Horton, but he had some plays. He had some rough things go on. But he was also the reason they're in this game. So he fumbled the punt. He could have maybe got down at the half and maybe given the Rams a chance to kick a field goal. Instead, he tries to run it into the end zone, almost gets it. Torrey Horton, still that good. I'm not bashing on that dude. The ugly is what I've already talked about. The Broncos offensive line. I mean, it's as bad as it's ever been. Left tackle, number 3. Center, number 3. Right tackle, number 3. It's not getting any better, and the injuries are mounting up. So, my question to you, Angel, then, How much can you fairly evaluate Nathaniel Hackett? Has he erased the early weird issues, the obvious issues? I think so. But is it fair to put his full evaluation on what seems to be rare territory as far as injuries? Should he be given another shot because we've never seen the injuries this bad?
I think it's, at this point, it's really hard to imagine him being around the Broncos next season.
You got to have a scapegoat, I suppose.
And, you know, you get brought in as this offensive genius, and you would think even with third stringers, you can make something happen with your offense. But there's no creativity, there's no identity, and I get it. The injuries hurt in the offensive line. I know what having a bad offensive line looks like. It's not fun because then you're relying on your quarterback trying to make plays, your receiver's not catching or injured or whatever. But someone has to be the scapegoat in this situation. If it's not going to be George Payton, if it's not going to be Russell because he's on a contract, it's got to be Hackett.
Listen, you're not necessarily wrong, but I'm watching this game.
And I find it hard to give him credit for the defense, too, because I think that's more the DC than anything.
Well, then, I get where you're going with that, but then what's the point of having a head coach? Why not just have a defensive coordinator and an offensive coordinator? We don't have a head coach. We have Rosberg just making game decisions.
Well, because you want that head coach to be the guy that's going to rally your entire team, and it doesn't feel like Hackett has both sides of his team underneath him.
That's the thing. Like, in fairness, when we're looking at how bad this team is, their defense is like the best. Maybe the best in the NFL. I'm just throwing it out there. But the injuries they've dealt with, they might be the best defense in the NFL. But you're right. It is hard to give Hackett credit for that because he's not coordinating the defense. He chooses who's the starter and everything there, I guess. But he's not controlling where these defensive guys are going to go and what they're going to do and what the plays look like and everything. You know, that's Zero Evero. And I don't, the idea of, well, let him be the head coach right now. Like right now, what's he going to do offensively?
Well, the problem isn't the defense.
No, absolutely. I mean, it's the only thing that's good about this team. In fact, it's great, but he is the head coach. You don't give him any credit for anything good that happens, even if it's not his specialty. If Teddy Bridgewater would have worked out last year, would you have given Vic Fangio credit for that? Even though he was the defensive guy.
Yes, because he went out of his element to make a decision like that. If Hackett made some kind of big decision on the defense, I don't know how much influence he has on that, if that's all Evero, but it seems to me like the defense is rallying around their coach and the offense isn't around their coach or against Russell, which I don't know where Russell's at right now.
I don't know either.
I don't even want to joke about Russell anymore because I'm like, I feel bad for him at this point.
Well, yeah, I mean, yesterday it's not on Russ. If you really are going to try to throw this at Russ, you are just trying to go at Russ. That's it. You hate Russell Wilson, and he's the problem no matter what.
And even that last interception, like, yeah, he was scrambling, and he didn't really throw it to anybody, but he was scrambling.
He had to step up. He had to step up
and
throw it.
He ran like 5 yards ahead of the, you know, almost to the line of scrimmage and threw the ball.
Every time he snapped the ball, when he could get a snap, because Wattenberg had a few of those that were bad, he was running for his life. That's the thing, like, can you fully evaluate Russell Wilson on that game yesterday? No, you can the rest of the season. There are plenty of things that you can take from the regular season to go after Russ, but yesterday was not one of those. Yesterday was not one of those. It's got to be one of the worst times. We got Lawnster on the First Advantage Hotline. What's up, my man?
Hey, how you doing?
I've been better. I really want basketball to be good, Lawnster, but I'm a little skeptical. But we'll see. It's a long season, but I'm really wanting basketball to be much better because football has been awful.
Well, you know what? I'm more excited for the high school more than anything right now.
There you go. There you go.
Hey, look, we got a team up here in Loveland that's going to be playing Friday night for the quarterfinals.
What, Loveland's playing, Eaton's playing, Roosevelt's playing. I mean, that's exciting. What else is on your mind?
You know what? I'll tell you what. This has to be the worst team I think I've seen for quite a while.
Is this the worst Broncos team you've ever seen?
You know what? I'm going to say no. I think we've had some back in the 60s who were not that good either.
And then those were bad for you? Like you were watching and you were like, this is awful.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And that's, so I'm gauging my, like the Broncos fan base, age, and everything too, because I want to know, like, is this the worst you've ever seen? If a lot of people say yes, then maybe they weren't watching in the 60s, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And if you say no, then you know, clearly you were watching in the 60s because there were some bad seasons then.
Oh, yeah, they were. I mean, especially when around 69 in that area. I mean, that team was as bad as this team is right now.
Yeah. Lonster, what's for lunch today, man? I'm starving, by the way.
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm going to have some fish and shrimp for lunch and maybe some fries and some hot sauce to go with it.
Fish and shrimp. I figured you'd do something soupy today because it's cold and it's getting colder and all that stuff, but no?
Well, you know what? There were some leftovers in the freezer, okay. And I figured it'd be a good time to kind of clean them up here a little bit.
You know, that makes sense, Lonster. That makes sense. Man, appreciate your call, and we'll talk to you soon.
Hey, you guys hang in there. This will get better.
Ah, I hope so. I sure hope so. I don't know. I don't know anymore, man. I was out at Canvas Stadium all night Saturday. And that was rough. And it wasn't even a great football game. It was defensive. For air raid versus the best running back in the conference. And you didn't see either one of those really do much.
I enjoyed it. Just watching it. It seemed like a good physical, you know, fight. You could tell it was a rivalry game for sure.
Yeah, but like CSU didn't, the punt return for touchdown, that was it. That was it. You know, and then the offense, they got that read option going with a backup quarterback. Peasley goes out early, so tired, grumpy. And then Sunday, get up. Did pick the Bucks to win, though, so that was cool. Got up early, watched that game. But then, you know, 11 o'clock rolls around, and 28 minutes after the hour, let's jump out and get a quick break. We got a lot to talk about. How bad is it? The Method Flow products poll question of the day. I want to know, how old are you, basically? Because is this the worst you've ever seen? It's probably the worst I've ever seen based on the expectations. The year after Elway, the very next year, they won 6. They going to win 6? McDaniels won 4 his second year. It was pretty bad then. But that was his second year, and you're kind of like, oh, okay, we're scrapping this. I don't know where they are at this point. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We'll be right back.
UNC Bears play Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Kelly Lyle with the Fort Collins, Colorado, and your CSU Insider on the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Texts are coming in here. You're paying Russell Wilson so much money to make plays like that. He's getting elite quarterback money and not even playing like an average QB. Texter from Dixon here. Brady, the Broncos are taking all the fun out of them being bad because they're so bad. I want to talk smack, but it's not even worth it. And if you didn't think it could get any worse, they still have to play Mahomes twice. Yep. That's pretty much where it is. I was looking, I'm like, college football at least is almost over, you know? There's what? Weekend left for the Bears. CSU has 2 games left. Then we're done with football, at least locally. Not the Broncos. There's like 7 weeks left?
Yeah, we're just at the halfway point.
Yeah.
Can only get worse or better.
They got the Raiders coming up this weekend.
There you go. That's a
You should beat
win.
The Raiders,
a
right?
Little revenge game. Sure.
Should find a way to beat the Raiders. All right. Method Flow Products poll question of the day is available at thewholeshow.com. Is this the worst you've ever seen as a Broncos fan? This will kind of tell me where you are, because I'm a Broncos fan of the 90s. Certainly, I didn't experience a lot of bad seasons early on. The McDaniels era was probably the worst. The second season was the worst. And then this. I don't know. I got to think about that. Is this worse than McDaniels year 2? That's the question. 34 minutes after the hour, let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hey, this is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
Well, I did get one game closer to 500 over the weekend. I'm 27 and 28. Yes, thank you, Susan. Cheryl, thank you so much, ladies. Appreciate it. 27 to 28 on the year. And we'll look to, it was close on all of them, man. The two I lost, you know, UNC comes back with like, what, 25 seconds left on the clock, and they score, and they go for two for the win against Northern Arizona. I had a hard time with that game as far as picking, because Northern Arizona is typically bad in Greeley. But the Bears showed something. I mean, it changed a little bit. You know, I think last week we were all pretty down on UNC and what the future looked like for Ed McCaffrey and everything with the Bears. But I don't know, Angel, does it feel like that win is enough to really spark something? They got one more game left against Eastern Washington. They should win that game.
Yeah, Eastern Washington is not good.
They should win, right? On the road, but
on that red field.
Red field.
I don't know.
But either way, does this kind of win, it was senior day, does that catapult you more so into the next season where you feel like you maybe can do something here?
It's definitely interesting. I've said it all season long. For any team, a win can really change a lot of things in the perspective of your team, of the future, and just watching the reaction of that team after that win on Saturday, just it felt so deserved for them. I know they've had a tough season, a lot of losses, a lot of just bad games, but that one really felt like a team win. The defense doing their thing. Dylan had a couple of great touchdown passes, but just playing for each other. And we've seen that all season long with this Bears team. There's no quitting them. As much as they get down, they keep fighting, keep playing. And that's a testament to the coaching staff. When you have a season like this, if you can continue to pick yourselves up and go out there every Saturday and just compete, and sometimes you lose, sometimes you win, I think that says a lot about the coaching staff.
It does. Again, I mean, it was before that game, it was bad. Like, I would have looked at this and said the opposite of what you just said. The coaching staff, nobody can get this team up for anything because you're losing games 55 to 35, 55 to 7. 37 to 14, 58 to 10 to UC Davis. And then 35 to 21 isn't as bad, but the fact that you were up 14-0 at one point against Portland State. So those were really bad. How much does the Northern Arizona win change things? I was talking to people, you know, there's a bunch of beat writers that I connect with on this show. I won't name them. We have them on the show all the time, but that were saying, well, that win might save Ed McCaffrey. And I guess I deep down kind of chuckle because you haven't followed UNC football. This team put up with Ernest Collins Jr. losing for 9 seasons. So I don't think they're saving of Ed McCaffrey here unless the administration wanted to move on for something else. As far as wins and losses, UNC has already shown us that they will put up with a lot before they make a move. So I don't think Ed has anything to worry about from the administration. The only thing I would worry about is, do you look at the situation at hand and just decide, I don't know that I can. And I'm not saying Ed's going to back away from a challenge. This is a challenge. To win in UNC football is really tough because of the facilities and because of what the rest of the Big Sky Conference has. And the Big Sky is the class of the FCS, wouldn't you say?
I'd say so. They're getting College Game Day this weekend for the Brawl of the Wild.
Yeah,
that's huge.
That's huge. That's monster. And so can that help you overall? We've talked about the struggles ahead for Ed McCaffrey and this administration. And how many times, count them next time I have Coach McCaffrey on, how many times does he say, I'm used to winning, I'm not used to losing? Well, this is going to be the big challenge then. You're losing now. You're getting used to losing. Sorry, but you are. 2 seasons in a row of a lot of losses. Do you want to keep doing this? Can you keep doing this? Can there really be a football program that can grow here in the University of Northern Colorado? That's the question.
Yeah, it's a big question. And McCaffrey's tenure at UNC has been nothing short of challenging. Ever since he signed the contract, he's had, you know, challenges and hurdles and adversity to go through, and they're continuing to do it. And sometimes it's not what we don't always hear what we want to hear from the coach or the players, you know, and they talk about winning, they talk about building a culture, and that stuff takes time. And a win like that, yeah, it wasn't pretty all the whole way through, but it's a home win, it's senior day win, everyone feels good about it, and it's a moment that you can look back on at the end of the season and say, we felt really good about that. How do we capture that feeling every single day, every single week moving forward?
Finishing on a good note is huge, and we've talked about, you know, up north with CSU, finishing in November is critical because it does give you more of a positive mindset going into the offseason. Maybe that's something where recruits look at that and go, okay, they've maybe turned the page a little bit. They might be getting better. I think I could go help and be a part of that. Here's the thing you can't do, though, Angel. You can't go up to Eastern Washington and lose that game, because then everything that you just gained from that Northern Arizona game, and again, how much was there to gain? They're coming off of, what, 5 losses in a row, most of them pretty bad beatdowns. But the Northern Arizona game does make you feel a little bit better. You get that terrible taste out of your mouth. You lose to Eastern Washington, a game that you're supposed to win. It's probably going to erase a lot of that, unfortunately. Fair or unfair, that's where you'd go. And then you'd be left to evaluate, okay, what does a 3-7 or a 3-8 or a 4-7 season do for you? It's 4 wins is about... That, I mean, honestly, Angel, 4 wins seems about like what you can get here.
That's about what we said would be a successful season back in August. Yeah. When just looking at the schedule, there's games on there they should have won, games on there that they were going to lose either way. But if you can finish with 4 wins, I'd say that's success for this program.
Yeah, they should have beat Houston Baptist. And so that would, you know, should they beat UC Davis? And you lose by 50. 58-10. Should they have won? It's hard to say they should have won that game because you lost by 50. So I don't know that you can even say that. But that on the schedule, we said that was a win, right? We said UC Davis and Houston Baptist. So if that was the case, you would be at 5 wins right now. If you would have won those 2 games that on the schedule we said you should have won, you would be at 5 wins. Looking at number 6, which would be tied for the most wins you've ever had in the FCS since joining D1 football. So you drop 2 big ones that you were supposed to win, which might be the tail of the season. It comes down to it, just 2 wins. And you weren't supposed to beat Montana State. You weren't supposed to beat Sacramento State. Idaho? They weren't really supposed to win that game, were they?
But Idaho's a good team this
year. Yeah, so they lost 55-35.
They were in that game up until the half.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah. Yeah. We'll see, man. I mean, there's just a lot of that around this team. And maybe this Northern Arizona game is a jumping off point for them. And they can find a way to use that, finish the season on a 2-game winning streak, and get ready for next year. But we'll see. Are you feeling more optimistic that Ed McCaffrey comes back as the head coach either way, whether it's the administration, which I've said my piece on that, or him wanting to do this?
Yes, slightly better. I would be interested if this happens in the next season, if he's still here, how does he look without Dylan McCaffrey? And if that's all been just for Dylan, we'll see, but I don't think it is.
Which is an interesting thing. Do you think Ed, and again, what do we know about Ed? I don't know. As far as everything that he's got 3 wins on the season. Could he go be a position coach somewhere at a college or NFL level? Like, could he go be a wide receivers coach for San Francisco?
I could see that. I mean,
would that be the path of least resistance? Because he wants to be a head coach at a high level,
right?
Is he better off going to San Francisco? I'm just throwing it out there, and being a wide receivers coach for 4 years, and then moving up to wide receiver / offensive assistant, and then moving up to offensive coordinator, and then, you know, the rest goes from there. Or is this the path that's going to get him to where he wants to go? And that's what you have to ask yourself.
Yeah, I mean, I can't put myself into his mind, but if NFL coaching is your dream and you got to start at the bottom, you start at the bottom. And if this was a way to him to get his name out in the coaching ranks, which I not to say he doesn't have connections because he's Ed McCaffrey, he knows everybody, but if that's what he wants to do, this could be a mutual parting of ways.
Exactly, because if you do this next year and you go 3 wins again or whatever,
then it just gets
worse. Just this never-ending cycle of, well, yeah, we don't, you know, and you could tell me all, I believe you, coach, I do. All the excuses, I believe you. The recruiting's tough. Compared to the rest of the Big Sky schools, it's tough. We don't have the facilities. We don't have the lights. We don't have this stuff. We don't have that stuff. Is Greeley really behind it? I don't know. All those things are answered by people that make bigger decisions than I do when it comes to the UNC football program. So is this the path you want to keep going? Or if your goal is to get into the NFL game, or because Kyle Shanahan owe you a favor? I mean, could you get over there?
Already got one McCaffrey there.
Exactly. That's what I'm thinking.
There's three more waiting for you.
And again, this is just what it is, folks. I'm a UNC alum. I'm desperate for this Bears team to put it together. It was awesome for them to win on Saturday. But this is where we are every year. Ah, 3 wins. Oh, 4. Cool. Neat. Maybe they use it to go. Oh, next year, same thing. I'm in a negative frame of mind, Angel. 11:50, the time. My player of the week, who is it? I'll tell you who next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, a Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
KFKA is your no-go home of the Denver Broncos. Your games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Sefa Lufau, former Colorado Buffaloes quarterback, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back in to the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. It's going to be all right, Angel. Monday's going to be a negative Nancy type day.
I'm not negative at all today.
You should be.
Why?
You live in this state.
All my teams
your
won.
Team, but you are now a part of this state. And your Bears team that won got their win number 3. The Broncos got that 2 weeks ago, bro.
Win's a win's a win.
I mean, come on. It's going to be better. It's going to be fine. We'll be okay. We'll get through this.
It won't be like this forever.
It won't be like this. I don't know anymore. I don't know. I had Mark Knutson was sitting next to me. You've seen some of his stuff around on KFK. He looked at me and goes, is it ever going to pay off? Like all of this coverage and support of these teams that we love, is it ever going to click? Because it's been the Broncos going on. What is this going to be 7? Is this going to be year number 7 that they don't miss? That they don't make the playoffs?
If the Jets make the playoffs, the Broncos will have the longest drought in the NFL.
That is the worst thing that I've ever heard. And you're supposed to be cheering me up. Give me something good. Give me good news.
Basketball is good. That's
kinda.
Our saving grace.
It's kind of good.
I mean, okay, yeah. See, you lost to Grambling.
And then they beat Tennessee. Freaking Tennessee. What is that?
CSU, they're undefeated. CSU's UNC got undefeated. A nice win on Friday night.
But the
Nuggets went 3-1 on their road trip.
That's fantastic. That's amazing.
What is there to be upset about, Brady?
Everything, Angel. Thanksgiving's next
is in
week.
Shambles.
We don't know. Do we know what offense is in the state of Colorado? Like, do our football teams know what? I mean, do they know how to run offenses?
I'm sure they practice really well.
Probably practice really hard.
I could imagine what a Broncos practice looks like.
It can't look like that, because if that's what it looked like, then
why are you getting on the bus?
Right. If that's what it looks like, you're going against the number one defense in the league. That should make you better. I don't know. I don't know where to begin. We'll get into it. We got a lot to get to. My whole show player of the week presented by Zvi Brewing. I did a vote on this one because I needed some help. I almost went with, you know, an Avs player. I almost went with Dylan McCaffrey was in the mix because you drive like that and get a win. That's you're going to be there. Who else did I have? I don't remember the fourth person though. It was Dylan. It was Rantanen. It was somebody else. Who was the fourth player I had? Well, and I rightfully so. I was leaning toward this guy since Monday. Congratulations. Who was it?
Tristan Da Silva.
Tristan Da Silva. Yeah. For CU. He's been good. He was good off the bench, too. But I'm going with Colorado State's Isaiah Rivera, who did it, got the job done. And again, this isn't two games. I had a bunch of people say, what about Jalen Lake? We had a good game, but this is a body of work. It's a week. It's player of the week, Angel. It's not player of the one game or player of the day. It's player of the week. How did you do collectively? And if you're a football player, did you do enough to beat out a bunch of basketball players and hockey players throughout the week? Isaiah Rivera, two games, had 24 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists in wins over Gardner-Webb and Southeastern Louisiana. And he had the game winner against Gardner-Webb. So we're going with Isaiah Rivera. Congratulations to you, my man. Maybe we'll get you on the program at some point this week. 11:57 the time. Short break coming up. A lot to get to. Joker is the best player in the NBA. But he ain't going to win MVP this year. We'll talk about it next.